Scripture reading is found in 1 John chapter 4. We'll begin our reading in verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7, we'll read to the end of the chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Verse 10 is the text that we consider this morning. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God is love. Beloved, God is love. And that's stated two times in the section we just read, in the verses that we just read from 1 John chapter 4. You may have noticed, twice in that section we found the statement, God is love. That's a profound statement. We don't have time, we were saying, or intention this morning of explaining all the various angles of the statement, God is love. But our text does point out an important aspect of that statement, that God is love. Our text, especially in the words, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us, explains to us something of that statement, God is love. Let's consider that text then under the theme, herein is love. Herein is love. First of all, we consider only source. The passage speaks of the only source of love. And then secondly, we notice an amazing proof of the love of God, of the only love that there is ultimately. Love is found in several relationships. Love is found between members of Christ. We find that expressed in the context. Verse 11, the second part of the verse, we ought also to love one another. We ought also to love one another. Speaking of the love that exists between God's people, one for another. There is also love in that relationship from us to God. There's love from us to God. We find that in verse 19, the first three verses of or words of that verse. We love Him. We love Him, and Him refers there to God. There's also love from God to us. That's found in the text, first of all. Herein is love, that He loved us. And then that love from God to us is found also in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, and that if doesn't mean if it were possible, if it is true, but it means to say it is true, and since it is true, then there's something else that follows, but God loves us. There's also love within God, between the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, love one another. Love, in fact, is of God's very essence, God's being. That's partly what's meant too in the phrase, God is love. In His very being, His very essence, God Himself is love. And therefore, within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons within God, the three persons within the Trinity, live a life of love. But the text says, if you want to understand love as experienced among men, that is, if you want to understand love as enjoyed within the congregation, within the church, between brothers in Christ, if you want to understand that love, and if you want to understand the love that we have for God, if you want to understand love as we experience it, you must understand God's love for us. You must first of all understand God's love for us. Because here is where it all begins. Here is where all love begins. All love for God, from us to God. All love for one another. It all begins in God's love for us. God is the source of all love. All other love is a response of that love. All other love that is found from us to God, and all other love that is found within our own relationships towards one another, it is all really a flowing over, an overflowing of God's love, which He pours out upon us. God loves us first. God fills us with His love, and then we overflow with that love, as it were, and love Him in return. And we love one another as God first loves us. And we don't mean here the world's love. I mean to speak here of the true love, real love, not the world's love or that thing that the world calls love, which is not really love. There are shadows of love in the world. We have to recognize that. Shadows of love, not real love, but that which speaks of something, reveals something about love. Shadows of love in human life, that is, among unbelievers, one for another. There's a certain thing that they call love, a certain shadow of real love that they might have for one another, not which they have for God. Even that love is not real love, but a representation or a picture of the real love. You can find that also in the life of the creature, life of animals in the world. Think of the mother animal, which will defend even unto death the life of her young. There's a picture, a shadow of real love in that, but it's not the real thing. It's not real love. Real love has its source in God. Herein is love, the text says. Not that we loved God, not that it began with us and we loved God, but herein is love, in that God loved us. That text can easily serve as the end of all Arminianism, the end of all concept of a conditional election. God loves those who accept Him, or that God loves those whom He finds faith in or finds good works in them, and so therefore God loves them because they first loved Him. They first responded to Him, and then He loves them. This text, we say, is the end of all of that, and that's made clear by the other passage in the context, which is similar to our text, verse 19, which says, "We love Him because He first loved us." We love Him because He first loved us. One might look at life among men. One might begin there and look around, and that's how Arminianism works. It looks at life amongst men and asks the question, is it not true that we love God? Is there not some love for God in us or among the church for God? Isn't that the place to begin? Then we can understand God's love. The passage says to us, don't start with your own experience. Experience of God's people is very important. We don't deny that. We don't throw that away. But we ought not ever begin with our own experience. The passage says we begin with God. All things begin with God. Love, too, must begin in God. First of all, God loved us. And then we love Him. And we love one another. That love for us is eternal. When the text speaks of God's loving us, herein is love, that God loved us and God loved us first. It's speaking of God's love for us eternally, as God viewed us as His elect, as His chosen ones in Jesus Christ, and loved His own elect people eternally. And that love is an unbreakable love. It's not only a love which existed in eternity, but which can be broken through the way that we live here in our life. When God loves one in eternity, God loves him all the way through time, and God loves him everlastingly. God's eternal love is an unbreakable love. And God's eternal, unbreakable love is a proven love. The passage speaks of the proof of God's love which comes first, God's love which is the source of all other true love. The proof of that love is this: God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Text means to say God loved us already in eternity, not that God sent His Son so that He could love us. God loved us already. God loved us in eternity. And therefore, God sent His Son in time to save us from our sins. He gave His Son for that purpose, for that work, in order that He might make propitiation for our sins, the text says, atonement for our sins. The penalty needed to be paid. God could not reveal His love towards His people. His people could not experience that love. God could not shine forth or pour out His love upon His people except that they be cleansed. God will not love sinners who remain as sinners and who are not in Jesus Christ and who are not forgiven and cleansed in Christ. God loves holiness. God loves righteousness. And God only loves those who are righteous. And so God gave His only begotten Son for us. As He had seen us in Him already in eternity, so now He worked it out in time so that we too could understand and know and enjoy that love which He had for us. He sent His Son. That was a gift that He gave. He said to His Son, "You must go. You must make propitiation for the sins of My people, so that I can draw them unto Myself and reveal Myself as their God unto them and as the God who loves them." He sent Him not to a nice, comfortable life here below, but He sent Him to suffer and to die. He sent Him to the worst life that a man could live here in this world. The life of being under the burden of God's wrath and consciously under the burden of God's wrath. The burden or a life of enduring hell while on earth. Sometimes we hear of that, we speak of that perhaps. Hell on earth. No one has ever experienced hell on earth except Jesus Christ. God took the agonies, the fires, the torments of hell and placed them on Jesus Christ as He hung there upon the cross because of my sins and your sins. In order to save us, in order to cleanse us, in order to make us righteous, but also in order to show to us, to prove to us His love for us. And what's more, what even more commends that love of God toward us, what even more proves that God loves us, is that God sent His only begotten Son to die for sinners. Not for those who are attractive. Not for those who had something going for them. Not for those who had made a good beginning in the law, had a good desire, a good purpose, a good hope of being godly. But for those who were sinners, for those who loved sin, for those who were entirely given over to the pursuit of sin, for those who rebelled against Him, for those who hated Him and hated their neighbor and had not one shred of love, real love, for God or the neighbor in their hearts. by nature. For those, God sent His Son to prove His love, to work out their righteousness, that He could bring them unto Himself and show them that love. See that love this morning, beloved. Hear of it now in the Word of God, but see it also demonstrated in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper when shortly the bread is broken and the wine is poured out, and you see in those element symbols the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, the suffering, the death of Jesus Christ, the endurance of the torments of hell for sinners. See in all of that the love of God. And understand, herein is love. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, you will find love. You will see the love of God. You will know that proven love of God for you. See that. Understand that. Believe that love by faith. And partake. Take the bread and the wine joyfully, thankfully, in love for Him who first loved you, and love Him for His love and for the proof of His love in giving to us His own Son, Jesus Christ. Love Him. That's God's command, but that's a command which works in us efficaciously, works in the hearts of all of God's elect people efficaciously, a love for Him. That's, after all, the meaning of the verse 19 again. We love Him because He first loved us. Not as you might have it in earthly affairs. Somebody loves someone else and that so charms them that they in turn respond with love. That's not the idea here. Not fully the idea. Certainly God loves us and we come to know that and we love Him in return. But also God first loved us as the source of all love, and God pours out His love upon us in and through Jesus Christ, demonstrated in the cross. And filling us through our union to His Son, so that then we love Him. We love Him. We do. Because He first loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Amen.